This is the shape of Texas.
Congress Avenue in downtown Austin represents 150 years of architectural history, from 19th century mercantile buildings to the commanding state capitol. From an 8-story early 20th century skyscraper to the 33-story 21st century Frost Bank Tower, Congress Avenue is Austin's main street. It was laid out in 1839 to run for 11 blocks, rising gently from the north bank of the Colorado River to a site set aside for the Capitol building. Ramshackle structures, boarding houses, dry goods stores, and offices soon lined the packed dirt boulevard. By the 1870s, two railroad lines came to town. Next came paved streets and gas lamps, and later, streetcars. In 1888, the new Texas State Capitol was completed, crowning the high ground at the north terminus of Congress Avenue. Architect Elijah E. Myers designed the monumental domed structure of pink granite. Other architects, including Jasper N. Preston and Jacob Larmor, also designed buildings along the avenue, as Congress came to be called. In time, structures of brick and stone with richly ornamented facades replaced those made of lumber. In 1910, Austin's first high-rise was built, rising 8 stories at 6th Street and Congress Avenue. Taller structures followed. More changes came in the mid-20th century as automobiles replaced streetcars. By the 1960s, some merchants wanted more modern storefronts, so they masked historical facades with curtain walls. A backlash to that trend in the 1970s uncovered Gothic Revival, Romanesque Revival, and Venetian styles. Today, expansive modern towers of glass and steel are interspersed with the more compact historic facades. The 11 blocks of Congress Avenue, north of the river, now constitute a historic district with wide sidewalks and plenty of pedestrians. To maintain the view corridor along the avenue, city ordinances prohibit new construction from obscuring views of the state capitol.
From the goddess atop its dome to its column-lined interiors, the pink granite state capitol symbolizes Texas's proud spirit. The imposing structure, 7 feet taller than the U.S. Capitol, sprawls over 3 hilltop acres at the end of Congress Avenue in Austin. The Capitol was built in 1888, designed by Detroit architect Elijah Myers. Over the decades, the building became crowded with elected officials. Once grand offices were subdivided. Behind the ornate meeting chambers and inside the walls, the Capitol began deteriorating. Then, in 1983, the East Wing caught fire. The building was saved, but the wiring and other systems were declared dangerous. Legislators appropriated $150 million for restoration and safety measures. To solve the crowding, an underground legislative office building was started in 1990. Excavation took nearly a year and was dubbed the Taj Mahal. The Capitol extension, completed in 1993, descends 62 feet, with 378,000 square feet of space, about double that of the Capitol. 8 long skylights at ground level flood the 2 floors below with daylight. Etched glass, metal stars, and oak paneling repeat historic decoration from the Capitol. Offices and hearing rooms for 11 senators and 99 representatives occupy these 2 floors, with 2 parking levels below. A grand curving staircase with brass railings connects the Capitol's basement with the extension's first level. Set in the floor is a terrazzo medallion 20 feet wide, showing the reverse of the state seal. The Capitol was restored from 1991 to 1995. Wiring, plumbing, and other systems were updated, and public spaces and offices regained their former glory. The Capitol restoration and extension won architects Ford, Powell, and Carson of San Antonio and 3DI of Houston a 1995 Design Award from the Texas Society of Architects.
El Barrio Azteca in Laredo is a neighborhood clinging to life on the banks of the Rio Grande. Its narrow streets once were filled with homes, shops, schools, tortilla factories, and bakeries. Shopkeepers lived next to their businesses, the border equivalent of living above the store. Teatro Azteca, which gave the area its name, showed Spanish-language movies. Today, there's a handful of used clothing stores and auto-related businesses, a modern housing project, and a hulking U.S. Border Patrol station. A section of small Spanish colonial revival homes built in the 1920s remains pristine. Other structures are tumble-down, their decorative wrought iron rusting or falling apart. Teatro Azteca, with its graceful parapet and checkerboard tile entryway, stands boarded and empty. In 1976, an extension of Interstate 35 wiped out 13 blocks where some of the oldest buildings stood. Still, the remaining 53 blocks have a certain charm. They paint a picture of the neighborhood's social history, beginning in the 1870s. Gabled Queen Anne cottages rub shoulders with board and batten homes, bungalows, and flat-roofed residences made of stone or brick. The brick was locally produced in soft shades from beige to salmon. It was used for walls, decorative moldings, and cornices. Some brick structures are time-worn, others have been painted Mediterranean blue and electric pink. Fish-scale gables on the Queen Anne residences speak of a style imported from the East Coast. Some homes were expanded in a variety of styles that evolved as a border building vernacular. Structures stand close to the street, as in Mexico. Lush bougainvillea softens the landscape. An economic development corporation is working to preserve and revitalize El Barrio Azteca. The neighborhood's golden days may be gone, but its architecture bears witness to the borderland's diversity and to its history.
Set on 18 sloping acres, a mile east of the Capitol, the Texas State Cemetery in Austin is the resting place of thousands of Texans, famous and humble. The legislature established the site in 1851 as a cemetery museum to celebrate those whose service or deeds helped write Lone Star history. Towering oaks shelter more than 5,600 gravesites, including those of 2,100 Confederate veterans and their wives and Civil War officers of the Union and the Confederacy. The graves of 64 pioneer Texans buried elsewhere were moved here during the 1930s. The father of Texas, Stephen F. Austin, lies beneath a monumental bronze statue. Congresswoman Barbara Jordan and Governor John Connally also are buried here. With time, the cemetery became overgrown and neglected. The legislature approved $4.7 million for an overhaul, completed in 1997. The focal point is the 255-foot-long visitor center, built of massive limestone blocks and modeled on the barracks at the Alamo. Inside, there's a display of the burial customs of diverse Texan cultures. Light enters the building from skylights and floor-level windows. Outside, wildflowers, native oaks, sycamores, and pecan trees soften the landscape. Fill dirt from four linked fountain-fed pools was used to raise a hilltop crowned by a single oak, which overlooks the grave sites and the Capitol. The cemetery's wrought iron entry gate replicates that of the Capitol. Framing the gate is a columbarium, curved walls with niches holding 400 urns for ashes. Renovation architects Lake Flato of San Antonio added the Plaza de los Recuerdos to the design. There, 31 stone slabs encircle the Texas flag and will bear the names of Texas leaders buried off-site. The Texas Society of Architects recognized the state cemetery in 1997 with an award for design.
De Leon Plaza in downtown Victoria is a people space and a good place to learn about the city's past. Flags, monuments, and markers abound. A 19th century wooden bandstand hosts everything from political rallies to musical events and weddings. The plaza fills an entire block. Benches beneath a canopy of live oak trees provide a respite from the sun. 12 wrought iron lampposts surround the plaza and bear bronze plaques with the names of Victoria's pioneers. Banks and office buildings stand along the facing streets. So does the 1892 Victoria County Courthouse. It was designed by architect J. Riley Gordon in the Romanesque Revival style, and it's being restored. The plaza is named for the Mexican impresario Martin de Leon, who founded Victoria in 1824 and made it the capital of his land grant. Victoria's proximity to the former port of Indianola and construction of the New York, Texas, and Mexican Railroad brought diverse groups to the city, Anglos, African Americans, immigrants from Ireland, Italy, and throughout Europe. Modest homes and mansions and ornate public and private buildings reflect Victoria's architectural diversity. The most fanciful structure is Nazareth Academy, two blocks from the plaza. Now a convent, it opened as a girls' school in 1904. The sand-colored building features elaborate gables and dormers found in 16th-century Flemish guild halls. It's the work of the architect Jules Leflund, a Danish immigrant who settled in Victoria. At the northwest corner of De Leon Plaza, the six flags that have flown over Texas unfurl in the breeze. At the southwest corner, there's a 16-foot bronze statue of a wounded Confederate soldier set on a granite base. It's called Last Stand and was sculpted by Pompeo Coppini. Indeed, De Leon Plaza is a downtown green space and an outdoor classroom where the lesson is Victoria's history. The new Austin City Hall is not like other downtown office buildings with their squared-off profiles, smooth skins, and regular window patterns. Instead, it's shaped like balcones, the limestone ledges of the hill country. Its skin is constructed of rough limestone blocks the color of leather, and with copper panels and black glass windows. The windows vary from narrow vertical stripes to rectangles as big as movie screens. The four-story building encompasses 115,000 square feet. The main stone-clad facade faces Town Lake Park and the Colorado River. It slopes up two stories in stair-stepped blocks that provide a seating area for concerts. The third and fourth floors are clad in copper and glass and are split down the middle by a deep slanted notch. At the back of the building, the upper floors skew outward, creating overhangs. A 49-foot-long balcony, sharpened to a point, projects like a menacing weapon across 2nd Street. Design architect Antoine Predock of Albuquerque, New Mexico, worked with Austin architects Cotera and Reed to create a dynamic between the building and its environment. Predock adopted the image of hill country balconies to fit what he sees as Austin's vibrant relationship to the landscape and its highly participatory city government. The odd angles and overhangs, he said, provide gathering places for citizens, as does the wide outdoor plaza graced with fountains and benches. The odd window shapes differentiate the back offices of city workers from the city council chambers and other areas for public interaction. The interior opens into a four-story atrium where light from high skylights bounces off copper reflecting panels. Concrete walkways cross the center at different angles for each floor. The new Austin City Hall opened in 2004. It's a landmark public space for a one-of-a-kind capital city. When George Bush was elected president in 1988, the Houston petroleum geologist Michael Halbuti planted a suggestion. "Mr. President-elect," he asked, "why don't you consider Texas A&M as the site of your presidential library?" Halbuti was an A&M graduate. His idea blossomed into the George Bush Presidential Library Center on the university's campus in College Station. It's the repository for Bush's presidential papers and memorabilia. It costs $82 million in public and private funds, and it's one of two presidential libraries in Texas and 12 in the nation. The center, built with Texas granite and limestone, includes the George Bush Library and Museum, a conference center, and a school of government and public affairs. They are linked by large outdoor plazas. The complex was designed by CRS Architects and HOK of Houston. The museum has an imposing entryway that leads to a soaring rotunda. It's a formal space with flamed and polished granite floors and walls and figured maple paneling framed in stainless steel. The rest of the museum is more relaxed. This contrast reflects a design solution that honors the Bush family's preference for the understated and the university's wish for a grand statement. First Lady Barbara Bush recommended replicating the president's office at Camp David instead of the Oval Office at the White House. It's the only public display of the presidential retreat where world leaders have met and charted history. The office includes Bush's furniture and books and personal items such as an historic painting of Kennebunkport, Maine, where the family has roots. The George Bush Presidential Library Center looks out on open pasture land and a wooded creek. That George and Barbara Bush chose Texas A&M for the library site is not their only tribute to the Lone Star State. They also have chosen a serene spot near the creek as their final resting place. From its founding in the 1880s through the early 1930s, the University of Texas campus in Austin was a hodgepodge of buildings. The Gothic exuberance of the old main building contrasted with the wood frame barracks that served as classrooms and dormitories. Then in 1931, after old main burned, university officials hired French-trained architect Paul Cray of Philadelphia to design a new library on the site. His balanced, symmetrical five-story building was covered in pale, deeply carved limestone and sloping red tile roofs. From this base rose a 31-story tower, just taller than the nearby state capitol. That tower sported a clock with four gilded faces, each 12 feet wide. It was capped by a timpietto, a little temple, with 16 columns. The Austin newspapers wrote at the time that the clock chimes could be heard 5 miles away. Later, Cray designed a plan that laid out the future campus in quadrangles around the tower. In the following decades, as the University of Texas grew, Cray's tower became both the main administration building and a symbol of campus pride. That is, until August 1, 1966. Charles Whitman, a lone gunman, opened fire from the tower's observation deck. He killed 16 people and wounded 31 more during an afternoon of terror. Finally, after several suicides from the observation deck, university officials in 1974 closed it to the public. 25 years later, after the deck was enclosed in a graceful cage of stainless steel, officials opened the deck for guided tours. Today, visitors again can look out upon the broad quadrangles and tile-roofed buildings of Cray's inner campus from a vantage point that is famous both for college pride and for college sorrow. In 1910, Regents of the University of Texas hired famed New York architect Cass Gilbert to design the main library for the campus. When Gilbert arrived in Austin, there was no master plan for the fledgling university, only 8 buildings with disparate styles. By 1911, Gilbert's majestic new library sat completed near the center of the university's original 40-acre campus. It's a broad and stately 3-story building with a red tile roof. Gilbert described the style as modified Spanish Renaissance to reflect the Spanish influence in Texas. The library's massive exterior walls, constructed with cream-colored local limestone, rest on a narrow granite base. This creates the impression that the building sits on a pedestal. Arched windows soar above wrought iron balustrades, bordered by a decorated cornice and a terracotta frieze designed with plants and mythological heads. Inside, a marble staircase winds upward to a grand reading room that encompasses 2 floors. Light filters through the original teak blinds. Exposed wooden beams in the ceiling are painted with geometric designs of blue, red, and green, interspersed with a white lone star. Long reading tables alternate with lighted display cases. Carved wooden arches adorn the entrance and the west wall of the reading room. Cass Gilbert's design captured the civic aspirations of a young, growing Texas. His vision for Old Main Library influenced institutional architecture. The refined sophistication of neoclassical styles became fashionable for public buildings in Texas. In 1971, Old Main Library was renamed Battle Hall in honor of Dr. William J. Battle, an early professor of Greek and a former president of the university. Now it houses the library of the School of Architecture. It's the only building at the University of Texas listed on the National Register of Historic Places. When President Lyndon B. Johnson accepted a University of Texas offer to build a library to house his papers and a school of public affairs, he asked his wife for help. Lady Bird visited other presidential libraries to observe how they were being used. Mrs. Johnson discovered that often at these libraries, the public would come and go through one entrance, isolated from the scholars who would use another. She was determined that in the LBJ Library, the archives would be the central theme and exhibit, and the entire building would be designed to be used by all. The LBJ Library was built in 1971 on the eastern edge of the UT campus in Austin. The monumental Italian travertine building is a testament to the President and Mrs. Johnson's vision and to LBJ's complexities as a politician. The architectural firm Skidmore, Owings & Merrill of New York and Brooks, Barr, Graber & White of Austin designed the building to suggest LBJ's idealism in crafting the social legislation of the Great Society. While the stone edifice soars upward, an open civic plaza reaches out as a welcome mat to the campus, to the city, and to the natural environment of rolling grounds and oak trees that were championed by Lady Bird. The museum also conveys with candor the controversy of LBJ and the turbulence of his times, such as the Vietnam exhibit, which clearly speaks of the pain and division of that war, including letters to the president voicing anguished opposition.
The replica of the Oval Office, where the former president would greet library visitors, remains popular. In 1998, the First Lady's Gallery opened on Lady Bird's birthday, December 22nd. It honors her leadership in environmental awareness. For The Shape of Texas, produced by South Texas Public Broadcasting, I'm Bill Clough. Funding is provided by Texas Architect Magazine and the Texas Society of Architects at texasarchitect.org.